Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 150 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's it hanging?
150, dude.
I know. It's crazy.
I think
that's a lot of us talking.
It is. And that does not count, as you know, dear listeners. It doesn't count our extra interviews, our random bonuses.
Yeah, our more than moms that we've been doing so many of lately. Like, that's all extra.
Yeah. So I feel like for our 50th and our 100th, we had very carefully planned out celebratory episodes. And today's
we're basically like the experienced veteran moms of the podcasting world
right.
now, because we're like oh, whatever.
150. Yeah. Is that a milestone? Is it?
Right.
But what are we going to talk about today? Well, this is interesting. We had talked about doing another listener questions episode. We sometimes do those in pairs, and we did that last week. But I was reviewing a bunch of emails from our listeners and comments in our listener survey, and people are wanting to know a little more about you, Megan, because
they are.
So you have been went through a divorce in the last year and a half. You've talked about it on the podcast, you know, here and there. We've done at least one episode kind of devoted to that when it was first happening. But people really are curious, kind of like what single mom life is like, what divorced mom life is like, how you're doing. So that's actually going to be the listener question. The listener question
We actually did get a listener question specifically about that just in the last week. So
we've gotten several. So rather than read one particular listener's question, we're just going to check in with Megan's single mom life, divorced mom life, post-divorce, second act, all those things. So Megan, you feel kind of ready? I'm going to be the interviewer.
I'm pretty ready. I got a big glass of wine for this one.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
We are recording this on a Friday early evening, for the record.
Yes,
Tuesday morning.
It's not Tuesday at 11 a.m. or anything like that. So
if you guys are new listeners, and this is all new info to you, episode 104 was one of our most popular. And it was about, it was kind of, Megan, when you were first going through this and taking care of yourself.
And actually, I want to say it had been in progress for months, but like it was my first kind of coming out.
It was
a lot of
going
people
public.
I knew. Yeah, a lot of people even I knew in real life didn't know. And so it was I was in a fairly raw place, I would say. And it was what, like last spring?
I think it was almost exactly a year ago.
Oh, right. Cause like 50 episodes ago almost. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting to kind of do a year after check-in.
Absolutely. Okay, so before we get into all that, I'm really excited to introduce a new sponsor today, and that is Health IQ. So, Megan, you know how you get to save money on car insurance if you're a good driver? Like, actually, your policy costs less. So that's what Health IQ does, only with life insurance. So they can save you money on life insurance if you live a health-conscious lifestyle. So people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, vegetarians, like people who are really committed to a healthy lifestyle, can save quite a bit, up to 33% on life insurance. So Health IQ has all the latest data. You know, there's so much that goes into assessing life insurance policies, and a lot of it is longevity, how long people are living, various risk factors. And so they have crunched all the numbers, and they use science and data to really show that people with a healthy lifestyle live longer. And for that reason, they deserve savings on their life insurance policy. So it makes total sense. They've just made it really easy. So the way it works is when you head to Health IQ's website, they have a bunch of different lifestyle quizzes you can take to see if you qualify for savings on your life insurance. And then you can even get additional savings if you say you're a marathoner and you can submit actual data like race results. It's really cool. And that will continue to bring your savings down. So they don't just generate leads and pass it off to an insurer. They really take their customers through the whole process of finding a policy that works for you and getting you the most savings that they can based on your healthy lifestyle. So
that's awesome. Because that can be kind of a daunting thing, figuring out a life insurance policy. Yeah, that's
awesome. I feel like they've really figured this out. And I know we have listeners who have really healthy lifestyles and maybe haven't considered that this is a huge perk of all those healthy things you're doing. So if you guys want to check this out, go to healthiq.com/TMH, as in the Mom Hour, and see if you qualify and get a free quote. So it's healthiq.com/TMH.
Love it.
All right. Okay, Megan.
You're just going to interview me, right?
I am.
Okay,
you just have to answer my questions. So
let's
first real quick assume that new listeners are coming in midstream. Do you just want to kind of place yeah. this in time and space. Like, I'm not saying why, you know, what happened to your marriage. I just mean like how, like when did this all start and how long has it been going on?
Yeah. So, my ex and I were married for almost 20 years, like 19 years, and separated, informally in September of 2016.
Okay.
More formally, I guess I would say around the holidays of that
yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually did not move out of the house until October. So when I had
of the following of 2017.
Of the following year. Yeah, so like when I did the episode last year, we were still sharing a space. We were sharing a house.
Yeah.
And I was, I had a little space downtown, like a little office space that I kind of used as a studio apartment that I would stay in, you know, as much as I could when he was with the kids. And we just kind of made it work as well as we could. But things have changed a lot since then.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that. But let's just make, just talk about this a little bit more. So the kids stayed in the house because I think people are curious about
yeah.
this.
So the kids
and
stayed in the
house.
And
you guys tried to rotate yep. for like a year.
We did it for a year. Yeah. I would say I was kind of over it by like June of last mm-hmm. year. It had a lot of really great benefits. Honestly, there's times when I know my life would be a lot simpler if we were still doing that. But it just wasn't ideal coming and going. I didn't feel settled anywhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like the house was mine. It just felt like I really felt like I was in suspended animation. Like I didn't have people over. I realized mm-hmm. And we talked about this a little bit on the show. Like I realized in October when he moved out this year, around the holidays, it had been a year since I'd had anyone over mm-hmm. at all. I had stopped going into certain areas of the house. Like I didn't really leave my bedroom or the kitchen. I just kind of went back and forth between those two bedroom or those two rooms. I just didn't feel like my house. So I think there's people who can make it work a lot longer. I think if our house had been laid out a little bit more mm-hmm. a little differently, it might have worked better. There wasn't really extra space for any privacy. But on the flip side, like on the good side, I think it was nice. Like it's fine. Had we had, you know, two homes, that's fine too. And people make it work and
yeah.
kids are resilient. I know it's such a cliche, but they are. But I'm just glad that that wasn't part of it, because I will say that when we told them we were divorcing, the kids, just like all the experts say, their first concern was, how does this affect me? I mean, it really, mm-hmm. do I have to move out? Will I still go to the same school?
Right.
Does this affect my friendships and that kind of thing? And I think for a long time, we were able to kind of hit pause and not have it affect them in
yeah,
that kind
so
of way.
Just, yeah, so just delayed any sudden moves
yeah.
or shuffling for them.
Yeah.
But
and
you
then,
ended up
you know,
shuffling a lot.
we ended up taking the brunt of that. And now the kids are with me half time and with him half time, and they're in his home half time. And they've done really well with that. Like, there's been a little bit of resistance. He lives about 25 minutes away. So often, you know, especially the older kids, they have stuff going on and they don't want to go mm-hmm. 25 minutes away. And we've managed to work that out pretty well. Like, he knows, like, I kind of have an open door policy as long as I'm here and I'm not having like a party or something, which I haven't done.
Right.
Any of the kids are welcome to stay here if it works out better for them because they have a sleepover or like work. You know, Isaac
right.
has a job, or like William, he's 14 now. So he has a lot of kind of independent friend situations going mm-hmm. on where he can kind of get himself to his friends' houses and doesn't need a lot of our input. So it's totally cool with me if they end up here more often. So all that is just to say, like, it is a 50-50 arrangement, but it doesn't quite look like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it looks, I don't know, it looks a little more flexible than that. You hear my cat playing with a plastic bag in the background?
No, I can't hear it at all.
My cat. Did I talk about her during that episode too? I should talk about my cat.
Yeah, talk about her.
So
this is all about you.
It is all about me. So it's a little uncomfortable. But I love cats. And John was allergic to cats. We never had a cat. He really doesn't like cats either. And so around this time last year, maybe a little longer ago, like it might have, well, I think it was almost exactly this time last year, we on the radio station, and if people are new, they don't maybe know that I'm a radio morning show co-host. Mm-hmm. My face is on a van. we have a thing called Furry Friends Friday where like local animal shelters bring in animals and we try to get them adopted. And they brought in this scrawny, like mangy looking cat who was such a lover, just like all over me. And I couldn't stop thinking about this cat. I just wanted this cat so badly. And so like 3 days later, I went and got her and brought her home. And it was awesome. Like I just love this cat so much. She's a pain because she's, I think, has an attachment disorder and needs a lot of attention and love. But it was like exactly what I needed. Like
yeah.
exactly at that time.
Yeah.
And I think the kids love it too. Like, the kids love this cat. Owen will text me during the day and ask me to send him pictures of Kitty.
So
I'm
cute.
Sending him, I'm like texting him. He's at dad's right now. I'm texting him pictures of the cat.
So cute.
And he told me that the cat is the best thing that's ever happened to our family.
I remember you saying that.
Hilarious.
That is so cute.
So anyway, that's a total aside, but I have a cat now. Never had a cat before.
No.
My entire adult life. Yeah. So
I
don't know.
It.
I feel like I'm off. I feel like I'm getting off topic.
I'll keep you. I'll bring you back.
Okay.
Actually, the way I was going to kind of move through this is, you remember a million years ago when we had a blog called The Happiest Home? And it had five sections, and we would write about things in the five sections. And I sometimes come back to those five things because they're just kind of a simple way to think about like what's going on in your life. So one is home, one is kids and family, one is work and passions, one is the kitchen, and one is mom's life, which is, you know, kind of our own internal stuff.
Yeah.
So that was actually how I was going to
I kind of forgot that, actually.
Yeah.
Sarah,
no,
thank you
I think
the
you came up
jug.
With it.
But I did, but I forgot.
I'm the one
existed.
Who likes categories,
right?
And like fitting things into boxes.
I just needed it so that I could like have a fancy little banner at the top of the site.
Right. You just wanted blog categories.
Right, exactly.
No, so that's kind of how I was going to move through this. And actually, I was going to start with home. And you've kind of answered my question anyway, but maybe we can talk a little more about what's next on the home front for you.
Yes.
Because so you stayed. You stayed in the same home for a year and a half through this, and you are about to move to a new home.
I am. And honestly, that was like a kind of a knee-jerk decision that took me a year and a half to make. It's like one of those overnight, like, you know, they call it overnight success, but it really isn't overnight. This is something I was mulling on for a very long time. Do I want to stay in this house or do I want to move? And,
and you are renting.
And I'm renting, so it's not a big deal to leave, which I'm sure changed things. But I also like the house and I like not moving, right? Nobody wants to move if they don't have to. But I had the lease came up like and the landlord was going to raise the rent and I had some issues with that. I had some issues with some things in the house that I felt needed to be updated. I've lived here for 5 years. I didn't really feel like the rent was justified. And then at the same time, I just happened, I live in a very tight rental market, and I just happened to look and see what was out there. And there were like four or five houses that looked interesting. And at the same time, I realized how much a house of this size had been getting away from me. Like, it's a big house. It's about, you know, it's not a ginormous mansion, but it's probably 27 to 2800 square feet and five bedrooms, which I don't technically need.
Plus a basement, right?
And a basement.
Do they count basements in square
footage? No, it's not like a finished basement, but it's a nice, you know, dry basement you can keep stuff in. And so it's just a lot of house. And there were rooms like I wasn't getting into to clean and they were it was becoming very overwhelming. I've been working like a mad person. We could talk about that. I'm sure that falls under a different category.
Yes.
But I've been working a lot over the last like 8 to 9 months. And I just was like starting to lose my grip on this house, right? So I went and looked at a couple different places. And one of them, it just worked out that like the owner of the house had used to work at the middle school. So she knows Jenna, my sister-in-law, really well. So we had that rapport. And then my sister-in-law was like, she's fantastic. She just seemed like somebody who would really like be super flexible and work with me on stuff, which I thought was really nice. Like, it's just nice to have that kind of relationship. She lives like two blocks away. So she's more invested. She's not like a absentee landlord. And it just, I don't know. It's kind of funny because out of the pictures of the house, like this was my least favorite. I went and looked at other houses that I liked the pictures better and I thought I would like the house better. And but when I walked into this one, it just felt good. Like it felt like a good and it's gonna save me like $600 a month.
Nice.
So that's great too, right? I mean that's such a huge like life changing thing for me. That I just kind of went for it. Like I pulled the trigger in like 2 days. Just was like, yep, I like it. Let's do it. The kids are super excited, which is funny because in every objective way. I always mix those words up. In every objective way, the house I currently live in is superior. It's nicer. It's bigger. It's nicer and bigger. It has like beautiful woodwork and like things that I really, really like about it. But I'm so excited to move and the kids are so excited to move. They really are looking forward to it. I thought there'd be more resistance and they're just, there's been none.
There's probably a really good fresh start element in there.
And yeah.
For all the reasons you talked about why you stayed, there's so many benefits to just like having a place that's yours from
the
beginning.
Yes, you're right. You're right. And I mean,
and for them too, I think probably.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, you know, the fact that dad moved out and I didn't go maybe makes things a little, I don't know, not confusing. I mean, they know what's going on, but just, it's just, I don't know, there's a feeling to it. And once I knew I was going to leave, I just, this relief was just like, I didn't even realize how much I'm holding on to in this house until I knew that I was out. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, bye-bye. Yeah. I mean, I look around, there's things about this house I just love. I love the way my bedroom is laid out. It's huge. It's like, feels like two rooms. It's really cool. Like, there's things about this house I absolutely love that I will miss, but probably not that much and not for very long. And I'm so looking forward to having my life streamlined to where, like, Clara's bedroom will be right across the hall from mine. She's excited about that because she thinks we're going to be roommates when she goes to college. I haven't told you about that yet. We talked about that yesterday. No. She thinks we're going to live in a big city and be roommates, which I think is hysterical.
Really cute.
Very cute. And the boys have, like, their own space at the back of the house, but it's going to be small. Like, we're going... It's less than half the size of my current house.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I've never done a big move like this by myself.
Yep.
So, but you know, like little glimmers of, there's always like those little glimmers of optimism out there. The landlady texted me the other day and was like, hey, I'm just going to give you the washing machine if you want it. It's brand new. And the current tenant will sell you her like less than year old dryer for $150 if you want it. And
wow,
I have a washer and dryer, but I don't know how to get them out of the basement.
Right.
So just to be like, okay, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Like a random friend from high school that I haven't talked to much, like we just kind of chat every now and then, but it's like totally random, offered to come help me move. I was like, okay. Like there's always those little things out there. And they're just kind of showing themselves right now, which makes me feel really good about it. Like it just feels like the right thing.
It is. It's really, really
cool. And I'll be two blocks from Missy, who's one of my best friends. Nice. We've never really lived that. We live in a small town, so everybody's close. But Clara, her best, like her, Missy's son, Sam, is Clara's oldest friend and one of her very best friends. They're only a few months apart. They like to tell people they've known each other since they were babies. They did the magic show together at the talent show, and they're going to be two blocks apart from each other.
Awesome.
And we're three blocks from the elementary school. So just like my life is about to really... What's the word I'm looking
simplify
for here?
Or...
Simplify and shrink, but in the best possible way, because I think shrinking down my surroundings and my home life is going to allow it to open up in other places.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about the kids a little bit. Is there anything that has surprised you in the last, like, you know, obviously you guys sat them down and told them and went through the big transition about a year and a quarter ago. Is there anything that surprised you about how the kids have evolved through this, or any one particular kid? Is it just a variety?
You know what? I think the thing that surprised me the most is that everybody was sad. I mean, it was, we're sitting at the dinner table and like everyone's crying. And John and I are laughing. We're doing like that nervous laughter, you know what I mean? Which is even worse. Like, do you ever do that when you're, and everyone's crying and we're like, it was terrible. And then we all went and watched a movie. And after that, it was like totally fine. It's really weird. Kids, man, like they just, like they all went through it. They all went through sadness and surprise and shock and all of that. But then I got a really sweet text from one of my sons, one of my teenagers that night, just telling us like, I can't remember if he sent it to me or both of us, but just that he would support me and us. And like, he knows that we're, have good intentions. Like, I don't know. It was just really nice. And everybody else, I would say, was just like, oh, okay. And now we go about life. And I think because we stuck to our word and we said, this is not going to affect you. You don't, nothing's going to change for you right now. And it didn't. I think then they were just able to relax. Like, and we didn't lie. We didn't say, we didn't make any promises we couldn't keep. We did say things like, you won't see either one of us as much. Like you'll see us both a lot for the 3 or 4 days that we're with you that week, but then you won't see the other parent during that other time. And that was tricky for a little while with Clara. Like, she really wants to see me more than she wants to, and she wants to see John more than she gets to. But everyone just took it so in stride, so much more than I expected, and that was a really pleasant surprise. You know, I'm not surprised that Clara took it hardest. She's the youngest. She's a girl. She's mama's girl. She's got a lot of anxiety to begin with, but she had a fantastic school year, and both her teacher last year and this year told me that they never would have known there was a change in her family had I not pointed it out. So I don't know. I just, I've been very pleasantly surprised by how well they've taken everything in stride. And I think that just has a lot to do with us being super intentional about it. And like there's times I've been annoyed with John and I would like to roll my eyes and complain in front of the kids. And I don't, because mm-hmm. it's not their,
yeah,
it's not their problem, right? It's not their business.
What about, I was going to ask, I don't think I've ever heard you use the phrase yet single mom. I've heard you say that you're single,
yeah,
but is that conscious? You don't feel like a single mom. So why?
No, I don't know. To me, and this is totally when people call me single mom, like I almost cringe a little bit. And I think it's because to me, being a single mom has always felt like, and this is just my interpretation, I don't judge anybody else for using words the way they do, downplays the role that John has in the kids' lives,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not single.
You have a co-parent. You just
aren't married to him. I have a co-parent. I'm just not married to that person. And there are ways that my life is easier now than it was. I mean, there's a million other ways it's harder, but like there are some very distinctive ways that I can make choices now
mm-hmm.
that I might not have had the ability or freedom to do as a married mom. Mm-hmm. I have more time to myself. I have like several evenings a week where I don't have kids to worry about mm-hmm. in like an ongoing hands-on kind of a way. Like there's just, I don't feel single. I feel like I'm a divorced mom.
Right.
Who's co-parenting with my ex, and it's going pretty well. I don't know. Like I almost feel like I don't want to take anything away from single moms who are truly doing it on their own.
Yeah. No, that's kind of, I've never asked you this, but that's exactly what I thought probably was going on. But I just noticed that you will use the word that you are single, like in terms of dating and stuff like that. But I've never referred to myself as a single mom. And that's, your answer is kind of exactly the reason I thought probably, is that you do have a very involved co-parent. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like at the functional level with parenting five kids? And again, if we still have new listeners who've made it this far, Megan's kids are 9 through 20. So older kids. Is there anything that you've had to kind of get better at or change your system when it comes to functionally parenting five kids? I mean, I'm talking about permission slips and the
That stuff is emerging. I will say, like, we're still figuring it out. I will say we're really good at communicating. We text a lot. We Vox a mm-hmm. lot. So we just kind of, like, I feel like sometimes I end up taking the same role that I did when we were married, which is to be, like, the nag, kind of, which sounds terrible, but just to be the reminder. Like, and John will have to say sometimes, like, yeah, I got it. But I'm just so in that mode, like, remind. Did you see this email? Because I don't know what emails he gets. Like, I don't think he cares either. I don't think he's annoyed about it, but it's kind of sometimes he'll be like, yep, got it. I can handle this. I think there are things that it's so easy to let slip when you mm-hmm. only have your kids 3 to 4 days a week. And we mm-hmm. go three on and four, like three on, four off, like, mm-hmm. and then we reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
So when was the last time Claire took a shower? Is everybody brushing their teeth? Yeah. Where is the reading log? Like those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just have to let go of my own expectations on myself around that. Like, is it the end of the world if the reading log doesn't get turned until next week? No.
No.
And I'm not going to stress myself out about it. You know, who's paying the lunch account? Like stuff like that. I mean, I think we have the logistics of a lot of stuff really nailed down. Like the big rocks mm-hmm. are in place, but all the little, like a lot of the little rocks are still kind of spilling.
And do you find that five kids react to that differently, or do they all take that in stride too? Because I can see, like, I know, like my kids, some rely more on kind of, I don't know, like the feeling that mom has it all together, and some don't care. Has that come up at all?
Yeah, Clara gets very stressed when she thinks anything is her fault.
Mm-hmm.
So like for a while it was an issue because her mittens and hat were constantly not where they needed to be. So mm-hmm. like say she'd go to John's and it would be nice out, so she wouldn't wear her mittens and hat to school. Right. And then she'd come home to my house and not have her mittens and hat. And mm-hmm. she had like three sets. It's not like we were relying on one, but somehow all of them would either be at his house or at mine.
Right.
And then she would really take that to heart. Mm-hmm. And so I had to just not show my annoyance.
Yes.
I'd be very annoyed, actually. Like, first of all, why didn't you remember? Like, just put it in your bag. It's not that big of a deal. Also, why didn't Dad think of this? And then I'd have to be like, take a breath and go, like, I wouldn't necessarily have remembered it either.
Yeah.
We're all doing, you know, our best and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, she's just more, those details get to her more than they get to the other kids. Mm-hmm. Owen just reminds me. Owen is such a detail kid, and he's very like not emotional about it. Mm-hmm. He just is he's like all logic. Mm-hmm. And he drives me crazy because he will remind me and remind me and remind me and remind me about stuff over and over. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I know. It's like, I got it. Okay. But he's like, that's kind of his way of, I guess, coping. And mm-hmm. then I don't know. The other kids are just pretty reliable at getting their own stuff. And they're older.
Have you found that that you have like I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. Not has your relationship changed, but have you found yourself in like different relationships with your kids because your co-parent isn't there? I'm thinking about like conversations that come up or like being the parent who does XYZ when it didn't used to be you.
That's a really good question. And that's another thing that I didn't plan for and I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate is things like the non-logical or the non-logistical stuff. Like, who has that conversation about this or that? I think one of the things actually that's been a benefit to being divorced is that we have to be really intentional about stuff like that. Yeah. So whereas if like when the Parkland school shooting happened, I think the kids were with John that day. Or if not, they were changing houses that night or something. Uh-huh. And so we're generally like that kind of thing would have fallen to me. Mm-hmm. To just like even if not intentionally, I just would have felt like I had to be the one to talk about it. I actually saw like Clara showed me her phone. I keep, you know, she has a phone that doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
If you have Wi-Fi, she can use Hangouts. And so she has a Hangout thread going and I like just like to check on her stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking and there was this conversation with the kids and John and he was like, hey, let's talk about this tonight. So I think he's even like kind of realized that I'm not going to be there to do that stuff. So he has to. And I kind of now back off a little bit more and just let it happen sometimes. So I think those are positive things. And I think the two of us have had to really communicate a lot better about it.
You bring up such a good point because I can see in a lot of married relationships how it would be easy to slip into a passive state where you're not intentionally deciding who's the best one to have this conversation. What should this conversation look like? Do we need to like prioritize this conversation? Because somebody, we need to, you know, sit down with this kid and it almost forces you to do that more than if you were together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it requires us to be in contact about it. So I think the pattern we had fallen into was the assumption was I did certain things and the assumption was he did certain things. But we never checked in to verify that was true, or we didn't always, you know, and now we have to because I have no idea. I'm not in that house.
Right.
And if he didn't talk to them about Parkland, like I had to with a quickness. So so it was nice. It just was like, hey, just wanted to get this on your radar. Is this something that, you know, you're going to talk about? Yes. And I still did, too. But like just knowing that it had already happened and what the sort of, I guess, meat of that conversation was just like there's just a lot of examples of that kind of thing. It's the emotional side of parenting that is harder to nail down sometimes. That's true inside a marriage or outside of one,
right?
And I just think being outside of the marriage gives you more parameters and like in some ways it's helpful, which is kind of weird.
And just it's everything has been brought right to the surface because it's so new for you, so it's like everything is a first time to figure it out.
Right.
Okay, so this is a good time to take a quick break. And why don't you tell everybody about our show sponsor and then we'll get back into this.
Well, this is a great one for this for this topic, right? So HelloFresh is our sponsor. I cannot tell you how good it feels to come home and find a HelloFresh box waiting on my back stoop on the day that I've been working until 5 or 5:30 and I'm thinking, how am I going to get dinner on the table? So HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service. So they do the shopping, the planning, and then they deliver the food and the recipes to you. And all of the ingredients are pre-measured. So you just get everything even packaged separately. Yeah. So if my box came and it has three meals in it, those three meals are in individual, like almost like takeout containers.
You don't have to think about it.
No, you don't have to. So if you get it, you just stick them in your fridge, grab the one you want to make and make it. All of the meals take less than 30 minutes to throw together. So it's so nice because you can walk in and just be like, hey, I want this. I want that. I've had my kids cook them before. Yeah. If I'm like working a little bit later, I've been like, hey, Jacob, you know, pull out the orzo and sausage and make that. I mean, it's so, so, so convenient. And it's healthy and good food. So
I love it. Yeah,
I love it.
So there's three plans to choose from. You could choose classic, veggie, or family. And the cost works out to less than $10 a meal, which is really hard to
pull
if you're
off.
Spending that on takeout, you're not eating as healthy. You're not cooking real food. What I loved about it was the classic plan had recipes like we did these mushu pork tacos. And I have a couple of really picky kids. And I was really easily deconstructed them and gave the kids, you know, some of the meat and a tortilla and a side of this, where Brian and I had like a full on gourmet meal. And that's something I really struggle with is how to like eat grown up food with really picky kids. And so I was very pleasantly surprised at how it was a no brainer to sort of separate or deconstruct the meal for my picky eaters.
I love it. And I have to tell you, I warned the kids last week that I am not grocery shopping again until we move, which is going to be taking place slowly over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy and excited that I have a HelloFresh delivery coming, not this coming week, but the week after, right in the middle of the move. So it's going to be like, I didn't go grocery shopping, but we still got to eat three.
All you need to know is if your stove works. Like if you're plugged in, you're good.
And it's like, yeah, exactly. I don't have to worry about having anything on hand and all that stuff. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, just go to HelloFresh.com and enter MomHour30. Again, just go to HelloFresh.com and enter MomHour30, and you will get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh.
Yep, it's definitely worth a try. Okay, so we're back. We're going to talk more about your life. Those were the big categories. Home and kids and family are obviously the things we think about first when you think of how is divorce affecting your life. So these next three, I think, will be a little lighter and I'll move a little more quickly, but I still think it's fun to look at life in these.
The thing is, everything I've said so far has been pretty positive. We haven't really gotten into all the all the crap.
Well,
not that we need to wade through it, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, it's not all sunshine and daisies.
No.
It's been really, really hard.
No, absolutely.
But honestly, better than I thought, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
So go on.
Okay.
Hit me.
Well, I was going to ask about work and give you an opportunity to talk about what's changing for work. But before we get into that, I want to remind everybody that not too long ago, just a couple of months ago, I think it was episodes 140 and 141, we talked about being working moms and what that has looked like. And Megan, I think at that time you had not let on that you were changing your full-time schedule. So this will be an update even from a couple months ago. But if you guys are caught up, Megan went back to work full-time about 9 months ago. That is related to the divorce. I mean, financially, that was a reality.
Yeah, it was, you know, I've been freelance for 15 years. And actually the same like week that John and I decided to separate or were careening toward that path was when I started at the radio. So that was a part-time thing, but I was still freelancing on top of that. And then also running the podcast network on the side. Mm-hmm. And that worked really well for probably, I don't know, 10 months, 9 to 10 months. I had a couple big contracts that kept me busy, but not too busy and blah, blah, blah. And John was still living in the house. So we split the household expenses and that kind of thing. And then last summer, I just realized like my financial reality, I had no mojo. Like I lost all of my mojo, like all of
and
my
you're a mojo person. I have to say.
But like all of my desire to like go kill something and drag it home to feed my family was dead. Like I just wanted someone to tell me what to do and give me a paycheck. Like really, it was very much an emotional thing for me. It really wasn't about time. It wasn't even really about money because I had made it plenty of money for a very long time. It was more like, I can't even form my own thoughts.
Well, think about
much less get
you
in front of someone
and freelance
pitch
your personal life. Like you basically had to take all of the energy that used to go into freelance, which is a huge amount of energy, and you had to rejigger your entire personal
life.
You're right.
So
it makes sense that there was nothing left.
And I remember saying, like, is it ever going to come back? Like, am I ever going to feel like I have that, I don't know, that kind of go get it mentality again. And I really just, it was just dead. I just didn't have it. I like that freelance my personal life. That's a very apt way of putting it. So at that same time, an old friend of mine and I went for a random walk. Like it was a Sunday afternoon and I just happened to message her. I was like, hey, you want to go for a walk? And we did. She's like, it's so funny. I was just thinking about you. And we ended up going for a walk and she is an executive at this ad agency and was like, we might have a job for you. So within a week and a half, I had a full-time job.
Yeah.
Like it happened so fast that I didn't even think about the fact that I had no childcare lined up and school wasn't starting for like 3 weeks. Right. I had nothing. Like, I had nothing planned. Sorry, excuse me. So for the last, I think 8 to 9 months, I have worked full time in a marketing agency. I've worked mornings at the radio station. Then I go right to my full time job. And then whenever I can fit it in, you and I do our thing. Mm-hmm. It's been insane. And yeah. I've taken, like, I'm directing some children's theater right now, which is a paid gig. I mean, it's fun, but it's also like a job. I have to mm-hmm. show up. I can't just like take a weekend off. I have to do it. So I've got all these balls in the air, and I still do some freelance work. Like, so much going on. Mm-hmm. And like right around Christmas, I just was like, I got to make a change. I either gonna have to quit the radio because I can't deal with getting up every morning and never having like a day where I don't have to go from one thing to the next, to the next. So I did go back to radio around the first of the year, and I just said, I need to change this, guys. Like, I can't do this anymore. And they were really great. They worked with me. So I'm still in the radio every single day. But Johnny, my co-host, and I record a couple episodes a week ahead of time. So I don't have to worry about it 2 days a week. So I was like, okay. So and I think we talked about that a little bit around the holiday
week. Yeah, I think when we did our Working Mom episode, that had happened, but your
change. But we also had one right around the first of the year where I was talking about making changes in your life.
Yeah.
And how I was trying to set up the dominoes, you know, in such a way that I could make those changes. And so I did. And then I was like, okay, that was great, but like, it wasn't enough. I still wanted more. Like, it was like a little taste of getting my life back in some kind of reasonable trajectory. So I did about a month ago. I just like, it was like really kind of a knee jerk decision. I'd been thinking on it, but I wrote an email to my boss like on a Friday saying, I either have to quit or go part time. And part time isn't something they generally offer.
Right.
So I was taking a pretty big risk because they could have been like, nope, we'll just hire someone else full time. We're you're not committed. And they were great. They were like, okay, we'll work with you. It took a long time to nail down the hours and specifics, but actually today was my last day as a full time employee at the agency. So I'm gonna have 2 full days off from both radio and from my marketing agency.
So is it going to 30 hours? Is that what the arrangement is?
It's going to 30 hours, and I get to work some of those from home. So I'll be in the office 3 days a week.
Okay.
And I'm just going to have 2 days a week where I can, like, one day is going to be with the kids, like one of the days I have the kids, and one will be not a day I have the kids. Mm-hmm. So one day will be like purely about work and getting caught up on podcast stuff and all that, and maybe like just going to the gym whenever I want. It was very hard for me as a person who was self-employed for so long to be on someone else's schedule and to be in an office and being like, you know what I really want to do right now is like go meet a friend for lunch or run out and go work out, but I can't because I'm at work, you know, because you don't get to do that. That's been so hard for me. And just knowing that like 2 days a week, I don't have to do that at all. And on one of those days, I can take the kids and go to the beach, or we can all go on like a day trip someplace. So it's been, I'm so excited. And I'm just really glad. Like, I feel like I was so deliberate and intentional about the way I approached both situations, and they both worked out. And I'm just so glad. Like, I'm really glad I took the risk, but it was a very calculated risk.
Yeah.
And also, I worked really hard to make it clear that like I was also going to do what I had to do to make it work. So it feels really equitable to me. I think like everyone's going to be happy, but it just feels like little wins.
Yeah.
And sometimes the little wins are the best.
Yeah.
You need them.
That's huge. That's huge. Okay. So my next category was kitchen, but I'm going to change that because we talked actually about entertaining and the home and stuff. I'm going to switch that a little bit different to health because I know you've been, can you just talk about like the ups and downs of health? And I mean, fitness, working out and taking care of yourself and eating.
Yeah. So I will say the last year and a half has not been easy on my physical, my physical body. I gained a lot of weight, and I know some of that was like last year I was just eating a lot. I was stress eating and weirdly day drinking, like not all day or anything, but I would go meet a friend for lunch and have beer. And then when you meet a friend for lunch and have beer, what do? You come home and sleep usually.
Yeah.
You do not go to the gym. I mean, there was just like everything, like all of those little routines that had made my life kind of had given my life structure just kind of fell off by the wayside. But I did. I was still reasonably active all the way up and through when I started my new job. And then I basically just stopped. Like, I didn't go to the gym anymore. I did stop overeating because there was no time. But, like, I just – everything just kind of ground to a halt. And, God, my body just felt terrible. Like, I was sore and stiff and, like, my flexibility was shot. And it happened disturbingly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
How it was really kind of alarming to me how quickly I went from being pretty flexible and feeling good and to feeling stiff and sore and terrible. So I made a big effort right around the holiday to change up my eating a lot and get back in the gym. And so I lost like close to 15 pounds, I think.
Wow.
By this point, I only started tracking like maybe 3 months ago. So I know that I had a pretty big drop off right at the beginning. And then, but it's just been steady. I'm not crazy about it. I'm kind of vaguely following a low carb diet and I'm in a couple like keto groups. I'm not crazy keto. I don't think carbs are evil, but I don't go finish off the bread basket at a restaurant anymore either. I don't have sandwiches every single day. Like I'm trying to be really reasonable about it. And sometimes it's like I lose a pound, then I gain a quarter of a pound back, and then I lose like half a pound. Like, so it's always like a little forward and a little bit back. But it just feels good to be moving again. And and it's something I really kind of hyper focused on for several months. It's good to have a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of became my hobby. Because otherwise my hobby would be like, I don't know, swiping on Tinder and feeling depressed, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. So that's been good. Like, I feel really good about that. And I'm also really looking forward to being able to get back into yoga seriously because I haven't had time. Like, none of the classes have worked for my schedule. So
yeah,
looking forward to having that time free.
I was going
to
ask on the food front, how has the divorced schedule changed? I would think it'd be really weird if you're feeding just yourself for a few days a week and then four or five kids other days.
It like is weird.
Everything from grocery shopping to meal planning and prep. I mean, I'm sure that's an episode all in itself.
Yeah. Well, but, So it's funny because like when it's just me here, I don't cook.
Yeah.
At all. I don't. If it was me and I was just here by myself, I'm not somebody who needs to eat like fancy food all the time.
Right.
So if it was just me, I'd probably make a sandwich or have some almonds or like a couple cubes of cheese and some vegetables. Like it's just me. I don't feel, or I go out to eat. Like if I really want a steak or something, I take myself out for it. So it's just me. My eating habits right now are a little odd. And then on the other days, I like have this thing where I have like one day where I use my new pressure cooker and I make like a big meal, like a stew or ribs or pot roast or something like that. And then I almost always have one convenience food night. So I maybe stop for a rotisserie chicken on the way home and like roast up some vegetables or something. And then when I have HelloFresh, I do HelloFresh nights. And those are easier because then, you know, it's already like the thinking is done for me. So I don't have to think about it. And then I often have a night where it's kind of like kids' choice kind of meal, like something easy, but like something that they would pick.
And have you found that your like lower carb and healthy fits in around that too?
I just eat the parts that work.
Yeah.
So like if I made a pot roast, there's almost nothing in that I wouldn't eat the potatoes, but I would eat the meat and I would eat a couple of carrots. I wouldn't eat all the carrots. Those are very carby. If it's like if I get a rotisserie chicken, I eat the chicken and the veg and I skip whatever the starch is if there's a starch. And if it absolutely doesn't work, if like I'm making mac and cheese, then I just don't eat it, but I wouldn't have ever anyway.
Right.
So many of those really carby kid foods I wouldn't ever have eaten.
Yeah.
To begin with. So yeah, like I like to sit and eat with the kids, but I don't necessarily need to eat all the same things they're eating.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, that makes sense. Okay, so this last one is kind of the bigger one. And so this is mom's life, which is everything that's you as a mom. And we've talked about parenting, and so this is not so much the parenting stuff, but more like your internal life. So I don't really have any specific questions yet, but I don't know what all you want to share about everything from your emotional ups and downs to self-care to dating to
oh boy. Can I go get another glass of wine?
No.
I can't. Okay. Oh, boy.
Let's start simple. So we did the episode 104 was a year ago, and it was about radical self-care during times of trauma or crisis.
Yes.
How have things changed since then? How do you feel today in terms of like just emotional stability as opposed to a year ago?
I think in a lot of ways, I'm just a lot less raw. I think a year ago, everything was so unsettled. And it was like I had one foot in one world and one foot in another. I was like straddling these two worlds and hadn't figured out how to take the leap across. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's changed. I think I see a clear path for myself, and I've made a lot of strides to help me down that path. I don't know how another person might ever fit into that. I have dated. It's hasn't been super successful. I've made some good friends. I've made some connections with people that I will probably, you know, hang on to in whatever capacity for a while. It's not that I don't think I'm ready for it. I feel like it's more, it's hard, man. It's like really, like being a mom and living in a small town and being 40 and trying to find other single people, even around my age, who are anywhere near on the same wavelength as me is tough. And so I haven't really prioritized it. But I'm a person who really likes to know what the next thing is going to look like. And it makes me very uncomfortable not knowing. Like, I'm not someone who's going to go, it's not even just about having someone to hang out with or be physical with or whatever. I could find that. I could find that right now. Like, I could, it's out there, right? It's more like, what is the next phase of my life going to look like? And how is another person going to factor into that? I would like another person to factor into that, but I haven't connected the dots. So that to me, not from like an emotional perspective, I'm not lonely. I have plenty of people
and things to fill my time. Yeah, you have people around you.
I have people all day. I did think it was a little while, for a little while, I did think maybe I was hanging out with my brother a little too much because he was like 70% of my social life. Like even, we even would go out like on Wednesday night. I don't remember why we chose Wednesday nights. Oh, it's because I didn't have an early morning on Thursdays. And so the two of us would like go out and have a few drinks. And like one day I thought, this is the most, like my biggest date is my brother. And I was also spending like all weekend at their house. Like, and that's fine. I mean, they've been great and supportive and it's fantastic to have that. But like, I think I maybe need to, you know, widen my social circles a bit, or it's going to be a perpetuating issue. But I have people. I'm not lonely. I'm not sad. I don't feel like I need someone to absorb or like validate me in that way. I just would like to know like how that's going to look. So that's been hard. It's been really hard to figure that part out. And obviously I haven't. I haven't figured it out.
What about female friendships? Have you found any like, I don't know, fellow divorced moms or any kind of community in being a divorced mom? Or have you leaned more on your longtime friends?
Know, what's really interesting about that is I was just thinking to myself, have I made any like divorced mom friends? And I don't think I have. I think all of the friends that I have are the same ones I had 2 years ago to some degree, right? But I maybe interact with them differently. So my friend, my neighbor Katie, she's young, but she's single. So I see her more than I used to. And we talk about being single. Like we talk about dating mishaps and all that. It's actually pretty hilarious. I have a couple divorced mom friends who I've been friends with all along, but now we you have different things different to way. Talk about. We connect in a different way. And I do think like there's just certain things like I don't bring up as much with my married friends anymore, just because like it's not that they don't try or like they don't get me. They know me really well. But like it becomes exhausting trying to explain things. And I would have, like, I would put myself in that category. It would be very exhausting trying to explain my life now to me 5 years ago. You know, just like there's sometimes it's nice to just be around someone who just gets it and you don't have to say anything. So, yeah. So, but everyone's been amazing. Like, everyone's been so supportive. And I think I've, if anything, I think I've just doubled down on the friendships I already had. And found new ways to kind of, I don't know, interact.
Do you, find yourself, do you think you react differently if you hear somebody is going through a divorce now than you would have 5 or 7 or 8 years ago?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I think 5 or 7 or 8 years ago, I would have thought it was really super sad and I would have wanted them to change their minds. And I think now, like, I just see things a little more nuance. And I don't ever think it's like a happy, like jumping up and down thing, but I don't think anyone ever gets to that point without a good reason. Like, it's a pain. And anybody who, you know, thinks that like divorce is the easy way out has not been through one. Let's just put it that way. It's not.
Well, we've heard from a lot of listeners, I think, who, I mean, I'm, of course I'm not, what am I trying to say? I'm not outing anyone because I'm not mentioning names, but we've definitely heard from listeners who are going through struggles in their marriage or who already are divorced or who are right at the beginning or the middle. And it is something that I feel like, you know, on this show, we talk mostly about parenting and motherhood. And sometimes there's an underlying assumption that everyone is in a two-parent heterosexual relationship. I hope we don't perpetuate that assumption too much, because I think our show works for no matter what your situation. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, we know that you're out there, listeners, who have gone through this or are about to go through this. And I think, Megan, you're a really good example of honesty and just.
Yeah. And, you know, and I had to tell you, it's so funny because, like, I had had a number of blog posts several years ago that I wrote about marriage and, like, sticking it out and, mm-hmm. and fighting the good fight. And maybe some of that was me, like, kind of sensing a fight was coming. You know, it's hard to say, like, in retrospect, where my mind was at. Maybe I was trying to, like, really hunker down and throw a lot of my energy behind marriage because I just sensed that something was off. And, like, looking back at those made me so uncomfortable because, well, I actually yanked a bunch of them down, but there was this overlying theme, like, because John and I had split up once before, that we would never do that again. And I have to say, like, at that time, I truly believed we would never do that again. Mm-hmm. And because it's so hard, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, just tells you how desperate things have to be to get to that point.
Right.
For, I would assume, anybody. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yes. And I hope we don't gloss over divorce. I think for me, it's been really tricky for the last year talking about it because it's still happening. A. Yeah. B. It's not all my story to tell. And C. I really want to keep things very respectful and very fair, mm-hmm. you know, and private. And I know privacy is a big thing for a lot of people. And I'm sure for John, he doesn't want to be airing any of our dirty laundry. So it's like, how much do I talk about being divorced? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's part of me. It's part of my identity. But just like, I don't identify as a single mom. I also, I'm a mom, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a mom who has a different kind of life than a lot of people, mm-hmm. but I don't like to lead with single or divorced.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just a mom, and my life looks different than yours or everybody's life looks different. Everybody's family structure is different, married or not.
Yeah. One thing we kind of glossed over, but this brings it full circle, because we started out talking about the timeline, and one thing we didn't talk about was when was the divorce actually finalized? Because that was
December. Yeah, it took a long time, and part of that was just that we kind of dragged our feet deciding who was going to file, and then our judge around here really likes to make you wait a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, like, last June or July, I was, like, hot to get it done. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just need this done.
I was turning 40.
Right, there were all these milestones coming, and I just wanted to be done. I wanted the divorce behind me. But then it's kind of like, hurry up and wait. And what ends up happening in a lot of those situations where there's, like, a deadline in front of mm-hmm. you that feel it's maybe a self-imposed deadline or whatever, after a while, I just didn't care anymore. Like, when it actually went through, it was so anticlimactic, like, they had to move the date by a week, and I didn't mm-hmm. care. It wasn't a big deal. And then the day it went through, I was actually at work. I didn't have to go. John went, and then we ended up having lunch afterward, and we didn't even talk about it. It was just such a foregone conclusion.
On the other side, I do feel like it was, like, symbolically a good thing. Don't you think?
Oh, no, it totally was. Once it was over, it felt really good to have it over. But, like, I just – a lot of my angst about leading up to it
– yeah.
actually calmed down the closer it got, because I knew
I had a date,
I had a letter with a date on it, and I knew even if that date changed, it was gonna happen.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was coming, and it was, you know, it was forthcoming. It was kind of funny, I got pulled over that night, and not only did I not have, my tags had expired on my car, because I thought it was my birth date that they were under, but it was, like, John's.
Okay.
Which is weird because it's my car, but I think we must have transferred over a license. Whatever. It was, like, some stupid oversight on my part. And so I didn't have my insurance in the car because we had literally just divided all that stuff up.
Uh-huh.
So we had a shared insurance policy. Then we changed, and I never got around to putting my new proof of insurance in my car. So no insurance, and my registration is lapsed. And the officer was like, yeah, so this is a problem and that's a problem. And I was like, you know what? I got divorced today. And I don't know what's going on. He's like, today? Like, literally today? I said, I got divorced today, officer. Like, you know, 6 hours ago, I got divorced. And I'm just going to need you to, like, help me out here. And so he just gave me a warning. He goes, okay, like, fine. I said, you know what? I have insurance. I just don't know where it is. I'll go home and find it. And I said, I didn't know the car was registered under his birth date. I thought it was mine. It was just kind of funny. Like,
that is awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And it was, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity to tell the police officer you just got divorced today, and that's your excuse. It's like the dog ate my homework.
It is. It is. Yeah. I love it. Okay, well, I think we're going to wrap up, but I'm really glad we did this. I know our listeners are going to be really glad for the update. Again, if you haven't heard episode 104, it's a really, really good one. If you have friends going through a tough time, not even just divorce, it's really the one where we kind of talk about being in personal crisis of any kind.
You know, and one other thing I want to say, we talk so much on this show about the light at the end of the tunnel and like how things change and often get better, right? Mm-hmm. When you're like in a hard time. And a year ago, even though nothing on the outside has changed for the better, it's not like I'm suddenly, you know, I'm not like getting whisked off to Italy by my rich new boyfriend or like that, you know. So nothing really looks different from the outside looking in. But I feel like I'm in such a better place now that it's kind of the same thing, right? Like it's like parenting or anything else. Like things will change and you will feel so raw and terrible. And people will say time will help. And you're like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Or thanks. That's the worst advice ever. Yeah. Because I know when a year ago when people were telling me, just wait, things will get better with time, I wanted to poke their eyes out.
Yeah.
But then they do, you know? Yeah. So it really is like just a waiting game sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting and doing your best. Like you can't just wait and throw your hands up and and get bitter.
Right.
And it's waiting and like working really hard.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a really good way to put it. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, the only thing I wanted to mention before we wrap is that, so we were doing these More Than Mom episodes, which everyone who writes to us says they love them. All of you who don't love them don't have to listen, and that's cool, too.
All of them who don't love them, just delete them from their
apps. So those are our mini episodes. We did four in a row last month, and we took a little break. So we do have two coming up in April. They'll air on Sundays, and those are where we talk about stuff not totally unrelated to motherhood and parenting. Really fun, fluffy topics. So that will be back this coming Sunday. You will have one in your podcast feed. And that's all I got. Show notes are at themomhour.com. We will be back with you next week. And Megan, thanks for getting on the hot seat.
Thank you, too. This has been fun.